From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
A stickler for details who is determined not to leave any of his fellow law students behind. Christopher Holloman is not only a member of the Howard University graduating class of 2015, but has been ranked number one among his peers for the past 3 years. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Welcome to The Journey. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Let me ask you something. You are from Hardeeville, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Explain where in South Carolina that is and what it was like growing up in Hardeeville, South Carolina.
Hardeeville is the furthest south town in South Carolina. Any further south, you're in Savannah, Georgia, on your way to Florida. South Carolina growing up was very interesting, very different from D.C. It's a very small town, less than 2,000-3,000 people. When I was there, we only had two red lights. My senior year, the roads got paved and we received street names. So everyone knew everyone. Church on Sunday was very small. My graduating class had around 60 people. So leaving there to come to Howard was a very defining moment because it was just very different in terms of the small town life versus the D.C. living.
So tell me, why Howard University?
I chose Howard originally because my aunt went here. She graduated, I want to say, in 1972. And she was always my favorite aunt. So for me, it was a no-brainer. She lives in Silver Spring, Maryland. Honestly, when I applied, I knew I wanted to get out of South Carolina. So she told me after I had applied to a certain amount of schools, she was like, "Why hadn't you applied to Howard?" At the time, I didn't know what Howard was. I had personally never heard of Howard. So when she asked me to apply, I applied immediately. Once I got accepted, that was that. I packed up all my bags the week after I graduated high school, moved up here, stayed with her to come to pre-orientation. And I've pretty much been here ever since. I love the 4 years and for undergrad and the 3 years for law school. But yeah, Howard was holistically coming to follow in the footsteps of my aunt.
What was your major in undergrad?
I was a radio, television, film major. I was in the School of Communications all 4 years in the Annenberg Honors Program and then graduated in 2010.
And so why law school after that undergrad experience?
Okay, well, for 3 years in undergrad, I worked for the Media Sales Institute under Professor Saunders. She works in WHUR now, and I was always interested in media sales and advertising marketing. And during, I want to say, my senior year, during that time, a lot of the companies who would come to speak to the program, the summer program, they merged. They had a lot of mergers and acquisitions. A lot of our speakers moved from different companies. And so for me, it was, how does that happen? How do these deals get made? How do various media companies join or separate or go out of business or start new business? So for me, it was like, okay, let me go to law school to learn that.
Now, since you've been in law school, you've described some of that experience. What do you think has been an experience in law school that is so unique that to Howard that makes you feel so fulfilled by your Howard experience?
I took 2 years off before going to law school. So a lot of my classmates who graduated in 2010 went straight through. And they were third-year students when I was a first-year student. And they were just extremely helpful. I'm currently I work in the Office of Admissions for the Howard Law School, and I give tours to prospective students all the time. And that's the one thing I always say about Howard is, similar to undergrad, just like the law school, it's a very family-oriented, helpful space. And so my third-year student friends, when I was a first-year, they were very helpful. They helped me navigate through classes and professors in terms of which classes to take, which professors to take, how to do well in certain classes. I always contribute. Specifically, my first year, I was fortunate enough to get the highest grade in property and contracts. And I can specifically mention Skyla and Leslie, who got the highest grade in those classes the year before me. I talked to them literally pretty much every month of my 1-0 year. And they just passed the information on down to me. And I think going forward, After my first year, I got to serve as the student orientation leader and planning the 1L orientation for the first year students. So going forward after that, it's always been my experience to help the students coming after me. I think what Howard offers students is the opportunity to meet upperclassmen who are willing to help you along the way to really fulfill that goal of saying, no, it's not hard. If you put in the time, the effort, talk to upperclassmen, figure out the system, you can do well and succeed in law school and after graduation.
You've had some unique internships. I recently gave a keynote address at the FCC, and I've noticed that you interned at the Federal Communications Commission. Tell me what that experience was like.
That experience was wonderful. It was literally I started a couple weeks before the Law Journal Write-On competition, and I got to work on a proposed rulemaking. I think I edited about 300 footnotes, citations. That was a really interesting experience. But the group that I worked with is called E-Rate, and essentially what they do is they provide technological services for schools, such as iPads or laptops, to help improve the achievement rate and the educational gaps across the country. And since I've always been really interested in academia, it was a wonderful experience to see how growing technological fields can be used to improve high school graduation rates, to improve high school learning, whether it's on, you know, a module or a game to improve math scores, or an online tutorial to improve reading scores. Working with companies through the FCC to provide those types of technology to schools across the country was really, really beneficial and rewarding.
You know, that's very relevant, because while I was there, they were touting their success in terms of getting the internet and getting technology into schools. So clearly, very, very important work. You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Christopher Willis Holloman. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Let's switch gears a little bit. Now that you are about to embark on the next part of your journey of life in terms of practicing your craft, as you look at the events that are taking place in Baltimore, Ferguson, and looking back at your law school experience with that perspective in mind, as well as coming from a small town in South Carolina to a big city in D.C. and the experiences you've had, what is your perspective of what you see going on in those cities as an African-American graduate of Howard University?
I think it just provides a venue of opportunity. I think presence and awareness changes lives. And during my tenure at Howard Law School in particular, I remember my freshman year, Howard Law students progressed the Trayvon Martin circumstances. And even this past couple of weeks with Baltimore, a lot of the students through the Student Bar Association went down to Baltimore to organize during the midst of finals to help and just be a presence, a legal presence, to provide not necessarily legal advice, but at least legal observation to citizens so they were aware of, you know, their rights and opportunities. And I think it just gives you that opportunity to know that just because you go to law school or just because you want to be a practicing attorney, of course, you can have the opportunity to go to a big firm, you can work for a government, you can do a lot of things, but there are also opportunities to give back to your community, even if it may not be necessarily similarly as lucrative financially. You can use your skills and awareness that a lot of people just simply don't know. For example, like for me, last spring, I took criminal procedure, and a lot of the material just were things I didn't know in regard to Miranda rights. My write-on competition dealt with what exactly is the definition of custody when you're put in handcuffs. A lot of things that I would offer that I personally didn't know prior to attending law school, and I would offer that a lot of American citizens don't necessarily know what those rules entail or laws entails. And I think coming out of law school, especially at Howard, with its history of social engineering, allows professionals to contribute to society in a very meaningful way, in addition to, you know, achieving their professional goals in whatever capacity they may be.
Social justice is our DNA here at Howard University, and clearly, as you navigated through law school, I think you saw that and felt that. As we look for practical solutions in those communities that are affected, what are some of the things that you would suggest we need to put in place?
For one, I remember my freshman year, the former dean of the law school, Dean Dark, riding with her on a bus going to an event at a law firm. And one thing she talked about being a former prosecutor is that there are very few African-American prosecutors. And a lot of times, I think young attorneys go to law school and think, oh, I want to be a defense attorney because I want to help my people in that arena. But I think another avenue that's very much so needed is more African-American and minority and women prosecutors to be on that side, to be on the determining side of who gets prosecuted, to bring on the side of determining what charges are brought and when charges shouldn't be brought against certain circumstances or within certain circumstances. I think, for one, definitely having more minority leaders in those positions for sure can definitely alleviate some of the social issues. But beyond that, I think also having more minorities in various just positions, period, in terms of the legal field. There are very few African-American partners across the country in law firms. There are very few African-Americans and other minorities, women in particular, in numerous positions within the legal field. And so I think going forward, just to sort of diversify the industry as a whole is a continuing process that we have to look for and do in order to help provide social justice across the country.
Now, you became a member of the Howard Law Journal and published a research article in that journal, Leaving No Law Student Left Behind. Leaving No Law Student Left Behind, Learning to Learn in the Age of No Child Left Behind. Tell me what that article was about.
Sure. As I said earlier, I've always thought that law school isn't necessarily hard. It's a process. It's a lot of work. But in the same vein, I think having worked with the FCC and having later worked or interned at the U.S. Department of Education, I had the experience to work with certain endeavors within the No Child Left Behind Act and seeing how students are taught to learn on primary and secondary level education and how that transcends when you get to law school. I think there are a lot of changes and new developments going on with No Child Left Behind and primary and secondary education, period. But I feel like a lot of times what we do as legal practitioners, we sort of forget about the current students. So the idea is to fix certain concerns with No Child Left Behind. But what about the students who in the past decade have already gone through that experience who are now in law school? For example, this past year, I was a teaching assistant for legal writing, and I noticed the differences from my first year students from week one in terms of where some of them were at in terms of their writing abilities. And I think we have to recognize that as professors, as teachers, that a lot of the students coming who even get into law school, they're coming from different places. They have different skill sets that they've developed. Some of them have been, literally trained to take tests, and others may not have those skills, those basic writing skills or grammar skills that are necessary to succeed in professional school like law school. And so my article is specifically focusing on, for an institution like Howard in particular, I think it's important to accept a wide range and diverse student body, because Howard has been built on giving minorities in particular a chance to prove and show that they are capable just like everyone else. But in that same vein, I think we have to look and see, okay, well, where is this student coming from as a professor, as a teacher, and how can I help him or her succeed starting with where they are? Because a lot of times you teach to the class as a whole, and that can capture, the students who are going to be strong students regardless, and you may be able to capture some of the students in the middle. But what I learned this past year as a teaching assistant for writing is the struggle sometimes is how do you capture that person who's at the bottom, and how do you reach that person when it may not necessarily be their motivation that's holding them back, but maybe they just didn't learn this in high school or they didn't learn this in undergrad. But now they're here. What do we do? Do I leave them behind and let them fail? Or no, do I try to reach out to help them? And so that's what the article is about, is developing strategies to go forward to help students across all spectrum once they get into professional schools, in particular law school.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Christopher Willis Holloman. Clearly, he is reaching back and pulling others forward to ensure that no one in our society will be left behind. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.